We're on Daf, Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, 8 lines down from the bottom. The first word in the line is Gam. And if you recall, we are listing the 5 Tanoim that according to Abaye hold Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. That means that Shinui is not Kone. And we went through Rab Shimon Ben Yehuda, Beit Shammai, and now we're up to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This we began at the end of the last Shia. Maihi. The Sanya we learned in the Brice, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Haresha Gazal, Sa Shal Chitin. He stole wheat. Tchana, he grinds the wheat. Losha, and then he adds water and he makes a dough out of it. Vafa, and he bakes it. The Chiyuv HaFrosh already is Chal before he bakes it. B'shas Lisha, the Brice wants to say, even if he baked it, nevertheless, the Halacha applies that Hifrish Mimena Chala, if he went ahead and was Mafrish Chala, even after it's baked, is nevertheless Ketzad Mevarech. How can he go ahead and make a bracha on this HaFrosha? Ein Zeh Mevarech El Menoitz. This person is a megadif if he makes a bracha on something that was stolen. He wants to be mekayim a mitzvah of challah with something that was stolen, and then he makes a bracha on it. That's where the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Botzea berech nietz Hashem." The botzea here is a language of a gazlan, and that we see in the pasuk in Mishlei. In Perek Aleph. So we're talking about a gazlan, and the Torah says, the Tanakh says, that if he makes a bracha, he's a menayitz. It's as if he was a megadif. To say Shem Hashem and recite it over an avera, that's not acceptable. And the question is, this is a shinui. He stole chitim, and now he has a dough or baked bread. Why is that considered gzela when he's mafrish challah? The answer must be, says Abai, because he wasn't Kona B'Shinui. Now we have the next Tana on Abai's list, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Maihi, Desanya, where's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Where do we see that he holds Shinui B'Mkomo Omeid, there's no Kinyan Shinui? Klal Zelma Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Shevach Shishbiach HaGazlan, Yodo Al Helyona. If the Gazlan causes, after he stole the object, some sort of increase in the object. I guess it's an increase which can be separated from the original object, but it's still attached to the original object. We'll have to think of a mitzius. And again, if he fattens the cow, then I don't know exactly how he could return the cow and yet hold on to the extra fat on the cow for himself. Rotza notel shivcho rotza omer lo hareshel cholofanecha. The gazlan has two options. He can take the increase for himself, or he can give the object back to the nigzal and say, "You take it. Here it is." So let's try and understand the words of the Braisa of Rav Shimon Elazar. My karma. What did Rav Shimon Elazar mean when he said, Hareshel chol fanecha? That sounds like, you know, let the gazlan get away with murder here, and he can just say, "You take it," and that's it. I mean, if we're talking about a case of hishbiach, shevach hishbiach a gazlan, what does the gazlan gain by saying Hareshel chol fanecha? It must be that we're talking about a case of a gzela that went down in value, and nevertheless, even though, let's say, it's the animal is skinnier than it was when he stole it, nevertheless, he can still say to the nigzal, "Here, take it, as is." On Rav Sheshes Hochikom, we have to sort of add a little bit to the language of the Braisa. Hishbicha notel shvacho. If the gazlan increased the value of the stolen object, then he returns the object itself, but he takes for himself, he shaves off for himself any extra shvach, anything that's a surplus, that's above and beyond the original gzela, but kichesh, if let's say the stolen object now went down in value, it lost some of its flesh, is omer lo, the gazan has a right to say the nigzal, and this is again a real kula to let the gazan get away with this, areishel cholofanecha. Here, take it and go. Now, what do you mean take it and go? That's a little bit strange, because obviously there's a shinui here, and if there's a shinui, the gazan was kone it, which means automatically he's chayv to pay its damim, its value in currency, in cash. Is obviously, says Abaye, the shinui bimkomo ome. The gazan was not kone this gzela with shinui. He's only chayv to pay its damim, but even though the gzela went through a shinui, a change, he can still be makayim the mitzvah of chiyuv hashava by paying its damim. And this touches on the famous question about whether gzela is a lav hanitak liyese because of the heshiv sag gzela, and would that apply even if he destroyed the gzela and he only pays damim? The damim itself, if it's paid by the gazan to the nigzal, is a kiyuv of hashava sag gzela, and it still remains a lav hanitak liyese. There's Torah on this. E hachi, the Gemara says, if you're telling me that according to the sheet of Reb Shimon Elazar in this price, a shinui is not kone, is afilu ishbiach nami, even in the case where the gazlan added and the value of the object was enhanced, the gazlan should be chayev to return the object with its shevach. As we said before, the shevach is somewhat attached to the object. Why is he kone the shevach? There is no such thing as shinui kone. Amri, the Gemara says, Einochinami midoraisa, the gazan was not kone the shevach. But this is a takonas chachomim, and they takonas hashovim. The chachom made a takona to make it easier and to entice the gazlan to do tshuva, and in this case to return the object, or at least pay its value. And the halacha, the established takona, was that he, the gazlan, takes the shevach for himself and returns the object to the nigzal as in the state that it was in at the time of the gzela. So that even though, according to the technical law, that according to Abayis, that shinui eino kone, and therefore the shvach should be attached to the gzela, when he returns the gzela, he should return the shvach, the chachom made a takonas shavim to make it easier for the gazan to do tshuva, return the gzela, but keep for himself the shvach. And finally we get to the last tan on the list, Rabbi Shmuel. Where do we see that Rabbi Shmuel holds that shinui bimkomo omed? Maihi Desanya, we learned in a brisa, and now we're talking about matnas aniyim, mitzvahs peil ahafrish minakoma. When a person has a field and he begins his ktsira, that's called koma, when he's cutting down the stalks of wheat or whatever of the five grains and peres ha'ilon and so forth. At this point, instead of cutting down the peah, what he should do is begin his ktsira and then leave the corner of the field for the aniyim in koma, attached to the ground, growing from the ground, as the Torah says in Parashas Kedoshim, lo sechala pa'as sodcha liktsar. In other words, begin your ktsira, don't complete it, leave something behind. Lo hifrish menakoma, what happens if the bailim went ahead and they cut down the entire field? There's nothing left standing in the field. Everything that he has now is cut down. It's called omrim, is mafrish mina omrim. He can be mafrish peah even from tolush, even from omrim, which already cut down, and leave them in the field for the aniyim to collect. Lo hifrish mina omrim. What did he do? He took the omrim, gathered them together, and made a pile. That pile is called kri, chaf resh yud kri. And nevertheless, mafrish mina kri. He can even be mafrish peah from the kri. Achelo mercho, up to the point where he hasn't done meruach, which is called winnowing, when he throws it up with the pan into the air, and the air blows, the wind blows away the chaff. If he was mafresh it before meruach, then he's potter min amaser. The mechayiv of maser is meruach. That's called the gmar malach of maser. And if he went ahead and he was mafresh before meruach, then at this point it's like he was mafkir it, or he's makne it. He no longer has bailus on it because it became peah. Peah is no longer personal ownership; it belongs to someone else. It's haknot to the shevet aniyim, to the aniyim. And therefore, it's like hefker. It's just like hefker is part of an amaser. If you mafkir something and afterwards you do meruach, the meruach does not generate a chiyuv of maser because it was hefker. Here too, he was mafkir it in the sense that he was peyo. We're not sure again. It's machlokes beizul beit shamai whether peyo is hefker laniyim or not. But let's call it hefker laniyim. And it's hefker before he did the meruach. The meruach doesn't engender a chiyuv maser. Mercho, if already he went a step further, not only did he pile together all the omrim, all the bundles, all the individual cut down stalks, but he already put it into a bundle, into a kree, but then he went a step further and he was mercho, he already did the meruach. At that point in time, he's chayev in maaser. And now, if he's mafresh peah, which he's chayev to do, he's still chayev in maser. In other words, from what's ever left after meruach, he's got to do divide into three groups, three sections. One section he has to give to the aniyim, that's called peah. The other section he designates for maser, that's 1/10, and then the remainder, the balance, is his. And maser v'nose lo. Now he's saying the following. First, he should do the maaser. He should take off the tenth from the kri, and only afterwards he should give the ani min hapeah. We didn't intuitively understand that there was a sequence, a definite required sequence here. The Braisa establishes a sequence in which first he should be mafresh maaser, and only on the balance, the other 90% that's left, he gives his peah to the ani. And the reason for this is we want to give the ani through matnas anim the maximum that he could get. If he would give the ani before hafrashas maaser, then the ani himself would not get neto. He wouldn't get everything for himself. He'd have to give part of it to the levim as maaser. Okay, but we're talking now up into the state of and beyond meruach. But what about when he takes these grains, etc., and he grinds them? At this point, the Tanakhama holds that he is not chayiv in peah because he was kona b'shinui. Now the Braisa quotes the other opinion, the dissenting view of Mishum, Reb Shimon, Reb Yishmael Amru, af mafresh min ha'isa v'nosem lo. Even after he grinds it and he adds water, makes a, you know, out of the flour, he makes a dough. He still is mafresh from this dough, which is called an isa, and he gives it to the ani. It seems clear then that Rabbi Shmuel holds that shini b'mkoma omed. He's not kona b'shini. He still is chayv and peah. Amalei Rav Popol Abaye. After Abaye's presented this entire thesis with five tanoim who hold that shini b'mkoma omed, Rav Popol wonders about this. He's amazed. Ichbal kol hani tanoi. Did all these tanoim, all five on the list, have to work so hard? La Ashminan ki Beit Shammai? To Paskin like Beit Shammai? We've already established that there's machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai regarding Shinui Bimkomo Omeid, that's the Shita Beit Shammai, or Shinui is Kone according to Beis Hillel. And it's a little bit odd to have this entire list. Okay, it makes sense that Beit Shammai is on the list in the case of Esnan Zona, that even after he makes a shinui on the chitim that he gave to the Zona, nevertheless the solas that he produced is posel and mincha l'mizbeach. Beis Hillel was matir. So all these other tanoim, four other tanoim on the list, they all accepted the shita of Beit Shammai. That's a bit odd, says Rav Papa. We always accept the halacha like Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel holds that Shita is Konan, therefore there is no Psul Mizbeach on the Soles or on the Shemen and the Ayin. Amalei, Abai responds, Hachi Kamri, all these Tanoim want to be Mechadesh, that Lo Nechliku Beit Sham Beis Hillel B'davar Zeh, that Beis Hillel never denied it. They had a different version of Beis Hillel. According to theirs, Beis Hillel were Moda that Shinu B'Mkomo Omid, and an Esnan that went through a Shinui from, for example, the state of Chitin to the state of Soles, it still is possible Mizbeach. And the shame Esnan is not Paka through Shinu because Shinu B'Mkomo Omid. So that adds an extra punch to the thesis of Abaye. Abai's not just telling us theoretically, you know, that you should know all these Tanoim, I did research, and in each case, I can prove to you that they maintain Shinu B'Mkomo Omid, but rather that they deny that there is a Beis Hillel that rejects the Shita. Now comes comes Rava. And Rava has a methodological objection to Abaye. And he says, on the contrary, the very fact that in each of these cases, each of these specific relative areas of halacha, the Tanoim, listing five, went ahead and told us that Shita B'Mkomo Omid, that's because each one of these areas has an exception to the rule. Abai saw this as the rule, and this was Kiilu, a reflection of a universal principle that Shita is B'Mkomo Omid, and Rava says, no, these are exceptions to the rule rather than the rule. Amar Rava Mimai, how do you know that everybody agrees in this list of Tanoim that Shinu B'Mkomo Omid, and they reject the principle of Shinu Kone? Dilma Adkan Lo Komer Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Hasam. Let's start from the top. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says that if he was mafrish wool as Reishis Hagez as Matnas Kuhun, and then he dyed it, is Hasam there in the case of Reishis Hagez? You would say, of course, that he should be Kona B'Shinu and he should be Potter Mi Reishis Hagez. Says Rava, that's the exception. That dying does not qualify, does not constitute a valid Shinu. Ela B'Tseva, that's where Rav Shimon ben Yehuda argued that the Chiyuv of Reishis Hagez persists and the Yisrael was not Kona through Tseva, through Tzviya, to patter himself up from the Sina Lekoin. Hol v'yochel aviro al yidei tzofon. As we discussed in the last shiur, he can use this pumice or whatever detergent he's using, and he can retract and reverse the process of Tseva. That's called a Shinui Achozer Libriyos. So that doesn't qualify and constitute a Shinui. But fundamentally, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, for example, the case of Libun, would maintain that that's a Shinui Hakona because the Shinui Sheino Chozer, and even Rav Shimon ben Yehuda accepts in principle Shinui is Kona. So here we have the exception to the rule of Tzviya, that Tzviya does not qualify as a Shinui because it's Chozer, it's Efshel Laviro. The Adkan Lo Kamri Beit Shammai Hasam. Where did Beit Shammai tell us in the case of Esnan that despite the fact that he changed the tzura of the stolen wheat, excuse me, not stolen wheat, of the Esnan that he gave to the Zona, the wheat, El Inyan Gavoh, as far as Mizbeach is concerned, the standards of Gavoh, what you bring on the Mizbeach, that's a little bit different. Mishum de Imis. There's a halacha of Mos L'Mizbeach, Mos L'Gavoah. Even if you changed it, but nevertheless, the very fact that this object in one form or another was subject to the Esnan, was given for a Zona, that's excluded from the Mizbeach. But in general, universally, Beit Shammai could also agree that Shinu is Kone. The Adkan Lo Ka'omer Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That was the case where he was mafrish challah from wheat that was stolen and then ground and made into a flour, and then added water, he made it into a dough, and he kneaded the dough with the cake. He kneaded the dough and then he baked it, and then he was mafrish challah min alechem, min apas. And then he went ahead and made a bracha on it. And you see here that it's a clear shinu. He says, "Abai, no." Says Rava Elinyan brach. This is a bezundra, a special halacha, a din miyuchad in bracha. You made a bracha. You should dehavile mitzvah abba ba'avera. Actually, how did you acquire these chitin? Through the criminal act of robbery, of gzela. Now you're going to go ahead and make a mitzvah out of it. You're going to make a brach out of it. Now Tosus earlier, Daf Samach Zion, already pointed out that if we assume that a gazan is kona b'shinui, which is Rava's position here, then there is no mitzvah bob avera, the poka shem avera. That's the power of shinui. As long as the stolen object belongs to the nigzal, then you call it a mitzvah bob avera to take the nigzal's object and further the mice gzela by using it for a mitzvah. That's mitzvah bob avera. But once nigmar mice avera, the mice avera is complete because it no longer belongs to the nigzal. There's nothing to, when you look at this object, there's nothing to remind you to connect it back to the gzela because the gazan is now koned. He has a full-fledged kinyan. So how could this be mitzvah bob avera? Tosis points out that's as far as bracha is concerned. Just like we had a similar halacha in esnan legavoa for the mizbech, it's mos here too to be mazkir shem shamayim on something which even though its original tzura on which the mice avera was performed is no longer in existence. Nevertheless, it was a physical object that was subject to a mice avera, and that we have to be machmir not to mention the name of heaven in a bracha on this chefza. Again, Aliba de Emes, this is not mitzvah bob avera because the gazan was kona with shinui. He converted the wheat into flour, etc., etc. And therefore, when Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov says that the way Rava reinterprets him, that how can you make a bracha on this? It's a mitzvah bav aver. What he means is it's a chefza shenasa bav aver. Now you want to convert it into a chefza mitzvah and make a bracha on it. That's not acceptable. And the Marshal here points out that the intention of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is that even though he was kone the Esau, if he wants to be mafrish chala, oh no, he should not be mafrish chala. He should return the Esau or the bread to the Bailim. Let the Bailim be mafrish. That's what he should do. So if all of a sudden he has a wind of tshuva, of repentance, and he wants to mekayim the mitzvah of chala, the way to do this is by returning the object, in this case the bread, to the original Bailim, the nigzal, in order for them to be mekayim the mitzvah. If he doesn't return it, and he, for whatever reason, he can't return it, or he doesn't want to return it, and he wants to eat from it, then El Chinam, he has to be mafrish, and he has to recite a bracha. But even though he's compelled to recite a bracha in order to allow himself to eat this pas that he stole, the isa that he stole, but nevertheless, he's a menayitz. Because at the end of the day, it was Maskir Shem Shemayim on a cheftz on which there was a Mais Aver done. The Mais Aver was performed on this object, albeit in its original form, and that itself precludes Haskar Shem Shemayim. That's called Menayitz. Rava continues with his methodology, picking each one of these Tanoim off one by one. We had Katlo Kamar Rav Shimon ben Elazar Hasam. In the case of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, where he was Makrish the Gzela, and the gzela looks a lot skinnier than it did when he stole it. And yet, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, despite that shinui ha-reishal chalaf anecha, he returns the gzela to the nigzal. Ela bakchasha dehadar. That's a case where although the animal now is skinny, it's lean, he can now fatten it up and bring it back to its original state. It's like someone who was on a diet, and now he can eat, even though he lost a lot of weight. He'll go back to his original state. Therefore, it's a shinui hachozer libriyoso. If it would have been a shinui that's irreversible, that's eno chozer, then even Rav Shimon Allah would agree that the gazan was kona b'shinui, and he cannot say, arei shalchol fenech, it's not shalcha anymore. And he can't impose this object and the hefse therein, through akosha, on the nigzal. He was kona the gzela. And he'd be chayv to pay the dmei gzela as it was worth at the time of the gzela. But now what we're saying is that this is not really a shinui. Akhosha is not a shinui. And Rava here is being very consistent, because as we saw in the case of Rav Shim ben Yehuda about Tzviya, where he can be Mahader, it's a Shini HaChoza because it's Sofun. And so too, here in the case of Rav Shim ben Elazar, in the case of HaKosha, where it's Hadre, because he can fatten up the animal. In the other two cases of Esnan and the bracha on chal on stolen goods, there Rav again is consistent with his methodology, postulating that it's a separate halacha of mosle mizbeach or mosle inyan bracha. And finally, in the last tan on the list, adkan lo kamar Reb Yishmael hasam el inyan peah. The fact that shinui is b'mkoma omed according to Reb Yishmael is a separate bezunder halacha in peah mishum dechsiv. Tazov Yisera. I mean, if it was a universal halacha, as we pointed out in the last year, why would Rabbi Shmuel be compelled to quote a pasuk and derive a ribui to be mechayev you in peah? After all, shinivim kamome, the Teretz says Rabbanein, that Rabbi Shmuel embraces shinui, and it would be koneh, and therefore there would be no chiyuv to deliver the peah to the aniyim. But the answer is the Torah added a word, tazov, and in truth this ribui in the parasha of peah appears consistently throughout the Torah. It's in parashas kedoshim where the Torah says lo schala pasod chalikta, and then it says li ani v'lager tazov osan. Or for example, in parashas emar it says lo schala pasod chavukutzrecha, etc., etc. Then it says v'lager lo ani v'lager tazov osam. There's always an extra tazov, which means to expand the chiyuv of matnas aniyim beyond what, according to the letter of the law, it should be, so that the bailim were kona b'shinui, and nevertheless they still are chayiv to give it to the aniyim. And this extra pasuk tazov is teaching us that as far as pay is concerned, there's a unique singular halacha that shinui is not kona, even though there was a shinui. In other words, he took the kama, he cut it down, and then after he cut it down, he made it into omrim, and then he did meruach, and then from that he made it into into flour, and by grinding it, and then he did lisha, and the whole 9 yards. And yet, says Rabbi Shmuel, he still remains chayev in peah. Now here we have a shtickle Torah from Tosfos, Divrei Maschil Lo Hifrish. This is like so typical of the Achronim, and yet it's here in the Rishonim. Tosfos wants to get down to the root and the cause of the Machlokas Shina Bai V'Rav, and he wants to say it's Lishitasam. They have a universal Machlokas in Masech Tumura Davav, one of the famous sugyas of Abai V'Rav and Shas. Abai says, "Kol milsa dam rachmana lo savadi ovid mahani." Even if the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do something, but if you went and did it and you violated the aver, nevertheless, the Torah recognizes the chalos, the impact and the repercussions of your actions. And therefore, Abai says the reason why we need an extra tazov to be mechayev pay with omrim is because the very moment that he was kotzer the kama, instead of leaving kama for the ani as payah, he cut it down and violated the mitzvah of the Torah. And therefore we would say that in such a case, okay, lo ovid, lo tavid, he shouldn't have done it. He violated the mitzvah sator, but he ovid mahani. And therefore ovid mahani means that now he completely undermines his chiyuv matnas aniyim because he was kona b'shinui. And for that, we need a taz of yisera to lafuke what would have been the universal rule of Iovid Mahani that would have generated the conclusion that Enochinam is chayev, he is potter from peah, he's potter from peah because he was kodeh b'shinui. So there's no extra pasuk of tazov to mechayev hafrash min ha'isa, but Rava l'shitasa, Rava happens to maintain there in Tmurad Avav, that kol b'slam rachmona lo sabadi Iovid lo mahani. And therefore, if he continued cutting down the wheat instead of leaving it bekama for the ani, and he violated the mitzvah HaTorah, then he ovid lo mahani, even though by doing so, by cutting it down, he would have effectuated some sort of a shinui, but the fact that he violated the aver prevents and blocks the shinui from being koneh, and therefore we don't need the extra tazov. And if it's free, if it's panui, if it's extra, then we could use the mechayev payer from Isa even after shinui. The Gemara now asks a question: v'chitem oligmar minei. Now, I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara woke up at this point in Peah, in Rabbi Yishmael's frame of reference, and asked this question. Methodologically, l'chora, the Gemara should have raised this objection even in the case of, for example, Mizbeach, where we had the Esnan Zona, a special halacha, or, for example, in the case of Bracha, that even after he changed the object that was stolen, nevertheless he can't make a Bracha on it. Those two could form or serve as binyan avs. Why do you see it as the exception to the rule, maybe make it into the rule? But the answer apparently is that in those cases we're dealing with svara. We're not dealing with a special gzeris hakosuf. And therefore, when we get to Peah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's an extra pasuk tazov. Maybe that extra pasuk tazov is generating a universal halacha of shinui bimkomo omeid. And the Gemara answers, no, matnas aniyim shani. There is a logical reason to take the extra tazov and the chiyuv of Peah even after the shinui and explain it and justify it within the framework of the laws of matnas kahuna or matnas aniyim. And we see this kidaboy Rav Yonasan in the suffek of Rav Yonasan, the boy Rav Yonasan, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel insist that even after he took the kama and he cut it down, he made it to Amrim, and after he made it to Amrim, he did Meruach, and after Meruach, he made it into a flower and added water and he made an Isa, and still, nevertheless, after all these Shinuyim, he still is Chayim and Peah. Says Rabbi Yonasan, I vacillate about what the Yisod, what did Rabbi Shmuel think? Is it A, Mishum de Kosova Shinuy and Kona? Maybe he was just universalizing, and or shall I say, applying his universal yardstick of shinui and kona to this case of Peah. Oh, Dilma, perhaps be alma kasava shinui kona. Here, in the case of Peah, is the exception to the rule. Dafka hacha mishum deksiv tazov yisera. And the Gemara asks the following question: you know what? Forget about Rabbi Shmuel for a second. Intim to lomar. Time of the Rabbi Shmuel Bishum the Kasava Shinui and Akone is Tazov Yisera the Kasav Rachman Alamali. How could Rabbi Yonasan possibly postulate that in general the universal rule is Shinu Bimkomo Omeid and then justify a special pasuk to Machayev you after he made the wheat into an Isa? Even without the ribuy of Yisera, of Taz of Yisera, we would still have come to the same conclusion. Vesu, and furthermore the Rabbanon, you know, forget about Rabbi Shmuel for a minute. What about the Rabbanon? They hold that you're parted from Peah in the case of an Isa. Is Taz of Yisera the cause of Rachmana Lomali? We're going to have to answer that question. So basically, what the Gemara is doing at this point in its first kasha is kicking in favor of Rava, that this halacha of Tazov Yisera, derived from the extra Tazov, is the exception to the rule, whereas the universal rule would be that Shini is Koneh, and he would be Potter from Peah. And even Rabbi Shmuel adopts the position of Shini Koneh, which was the second side in Rabbi Yonasan. And the Gemara is basically asking on the first side of Rabbi Yonasan, why would Rabbi Shmuel bother, why would the Torah bother with an extra pasuk of Tazov if the universal principle were that Shinui and Kona? The answer must be that Shinui Kona. But the second question, that's already a serious question unto itself. And in truth, this question stands on its own feet, independent of the vacillation, the chakira of Rabbi Yonasan. Namely, why did the Chachamim, who maintain that he's parted from Peah, need an extra pasuk Tazov, Miboile Likirisanya, they need it for the Alocha of this Braisa. And now we're talking about the din of Hefker Potim and Amaser, and Hefker's Potim from Matnas Aniyim. And the Braisa points out that these are two separate dinim that operate with different rules and regulations. What's the nafkamina between Hefker Potim and Amaser and Matnas Aniyim Potim and Amaser? And the answer is we have something called Hefker that remains Hefker. We have Hefker that is reversed by the Bailam. You know, the Bailam themselves making something Hefker can then go ahead theoretically and be Zochem in a Hefker and reestablish their own Bailus, their own possession and ownership. And that's the case in this Braisa. Hamafkir Karmo Vehishkim Baboker. And it means Zochabo, that he himself, after he made it Hefker, went ahead and he was Zocha from it, Ubitzaro, and then he goes ahead and cuts down the Kerem, where harvesting Kerem is called not Ktsira, but Bitzira, that's what he did, is Chayev, he's Chayev in all those unique Matnas Aniyim that apply to a Kerem. That's Peret, Ololos, Shikha, and Peah, those four categories. And even though there was Hefker, and Hefker is part of Min Hapeah, etc., etc., but nevertheless, if he was Chosevit Zochabo, now he becomes Chayev in Matnas Aniyim, and that's going to be derived from the extra Tazov. Upotim in Amaser. In other words, even though as far as the Ptur Hefker and Masros, even if he was Zocha again, he's Potim in Amaser. But it's a Bzunder, a special Allah, he accepts the rule of Matnas Aniyim, which is derived from the extra pasuk Tazov, that once it was Hefker, it's not an automatic absolute mafkia of the chiyuv and the mitzvah of peyah and matnas aniyim, but rather he can reverse the process of Hefker by reestablishing his ownership by acquiring the Hefker for himself again, reacquiring the Hefker, and now he in effect nulls and voids the ptur of Hefker, reestablishes his chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim, and that special chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim, which would not apply in in Maaser, is derived from this extra pasuk of Tazov. Let's just go through a few of the psukim here that are relevant to this braisa. For example, in Dvarim Perek Yudalet in Parashas Re, it says with regard to Maaser, Ubal Levi ki ein lo chelek v'nachla imach. Notice we have to give it to the Levi this Maaser, because otherwise he'd have no access to this. But Yotze Hefker, because in the case of Hefker, the Levi has access to pick up the Hefker. And then with regard to Leket Shikhan Peah, there's also a Ptur of Hefker, because the Torah says in the Parsha of Matnas Aniyim, it says Arzachem, or it says Sodcha, or it says Karmacha. Rashi points this all out. There's a famous Sifra, Torah's Kohanim, in Parshas Kedoshim, that derives from the Parsha of Peah, where it says in Emor, Ubekusuchem es Ktsir Arzachem, Ma Ktsir Miyuchad Shu Nishmar. The concept of Ktsir indicates something that he protects and he preserves for himself. Af Kol Shu Nishmar, and the opposite of Nishmar is always Hefker, and that's the source of the Ptur of Matnas Aniyim and Hefker. And there's a Machlokas Rishonim which appears in Tosvis in Tmura. If he was Chozer V'Zocha in Hefker, what does it mean? And he's Chayv in Matnas Aniyim. Was he Zocha out in the Karka? And once he's Zocha in the Karka, then he becomes Chayv in Matnas Aniyim. Or, and this is the Shita of the Rash Mishans, that even if he wasn't Zocha in the Karka, he went back, he left the Karka Hefker, but he went back and he was Zocha in the Peros, that itself is enough to reverse the Ptur of Hefker vis-a-vis Matnas Aniyim, and he becomes Chayev in Matnas Aniyim. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Perek Hey tells us that only if the Bailim themselves are Chozev and Zocha, then they become Chayev and Matnas Aniyim. They are, in a sense, reversing the process of Hefka. But if someone else is Zocha before Ktsira, then that Ktsira is not a Ktsira Machayeves because it was already Hefka. The Rashmi Shantz disagrees. He holds that the Machayev of Leket Shikram Peh of Matnas Aniyim doesn't come into the world until after Ktsira, or in the case of Anovim Bitsira. And therefore, if someone was Zocha before the Bitsira, before the Ktsira, then the Chiv of Matnas Aniyim hasn't yet even emerged, and therefore that would not create and generate a Ptur of Hefker. The Ptur of Hefker Matnas Aniyim, according to the Rashi Shant, is only after the Bitsira, after the Ktsira, when the Heftz is Nitvas and lends itself to the mitzvah of Matnas Aniyim. Now, with regard to Peret, we have Peret. Let's see, we have the list here of Peret, Ololos, Shikha. Shikha we understand. Shikha means he forgot to take part of it. Peret is when part of the Eshkol of Hanovim falls during the Bitsira onto the ground. That's Noshrim ben Eshkol b'shas Bitsira. Peret is also in the case of a Kerem, and it replaces Leket. And then we have something called Ololos. That's a little bit more complicated. That's an unusual and inferior kind of an Eshkol. It doesn't have that broad kind of what's called a Kotev, where the grapes sit one on top of the other. It doesn't have a Netef, which is called the grapes Ein Tluyim B'Sofa Harbe Anovim. And in all these cases, he's Chayev in the mitzvah of Peah, he's Chayev in the mitzvah of Shichacha, and Peret, and Ololos, and in the case of Ilonos, he's also Chayev in Matnas Aniyim, and there is Shikha even in Ilonos. Let's say, for example, he leaves part of the Kerem without cutting it down. That's called Shikha. In any event, according to the Man Yomar Shinui Kona, we need the limud of Tazov Yisera, the extra Tazov, to teach us that he's chayiv in peah mina isa, but we also at the same time, that's if Yehol Shini is kona. If Yehol Shini ain't a kona, we need the pasuk of Tazov to teach us that he's chayiv in peah if he was mafkir karmo v'chazur v'zochabo. And according to Abai, for example, who holds in Tmura of in Mahani, and therefore he was kona b'shinui, then he certainly be potter from peah, even if he violated the Isra by cutting it down before giving peah, before leaving it pekama, and for that we need the extra tazov. Omar Yudam Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Even if he took the chefta gozel and he was makrishit, the gazlan is not kona b'shinui, but he has the right, this kula, to say a racial chol fanech on this lean cow. The case is where, let's say, my shor damages your shor, and your shor, the shor of the nizak, is dead now, there's a carcass. The mazik doesn't have to pay anything more than the discrepancy, the difference between the value of the carcass and the value of the shor, as it were, when it was alive and well. That's called Ein Shomin L'Nizokin. But in the cases of Gan of a Gazlan, which is a Kinyan Shinui, there, when the animal that they stole dies in their Rishus, and now the carcass is there, they own the object because Gazlan and Gan of a Kona B'Shinui. Therefore, they have to pay the full value of the Shor as it was alive, and therefore Shomin, we have to do a Shuma to determine, you know, X plus Y, the Nevela plus the original animal, and that's what they have to pay. But it's clear here from Shmuel's statement that he maintains that Shinu is Kona. Gemara now explains, embellishes the question. According to Rav, who explains that Rav Shimon Elazar in general holds that Shinu is Kona, the exception is Hakosha, because you can fatten up the cow and reverse the process of hakchosha. So it's a shinui hakhozer. Lokash. And that, now there's no contradiction between one statement of Shmuel and another. Why? Because kika omar alocha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar de shinui b'mkomo omed. The fact that Shmuel accepted la halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar even though in general he holds shinui is kona, that's why ain shomin leganav legazlan. That's only in the case of hikhisha. Why? Because sakhosh the hadar, and it doesn't qualify as a shinui. It's a shinui achozer. V'chikomar Shmuel Hasam ain shomin lo leganav legazlan lenizaka, where he killed the animal, or the animal died in his rishus, the rishus leganav legazlan. That's achosh the lo hadar. You could never, you know, resurrect the animal from the dead. And again, let's just say a word. Okay, so let's just read the stira in Abai. El el Abai di Omar ki komer of Shimon Elazar v'akchasha delo hadar ka'amar is Michael and Meimar. According to Abai, who holds that according to Shimon Elazar, shinui is not kona, period. Even in a akchasha delo hadar, let's say, for example, the animal died or it broke its leg. That would be akhasha, which cannot be reversed. And nevertheless, Rav Shimon Elazar would insist that the gazlan is not konani katzerei shel chol fanecha. How do we reconcile the fact that Shmuel accepted Rav Shimon Elazar, and yet he maintains ein shavin lo legadav lo legazlan, which means that the god of a gazlan is konav b'shinui? And let's understand that what we're saying here about Ganav Gazlan, that they have to pay for the nevela, and we're not going to do a shuma, they have to pay for the entire animal, that's because that animal is no longer returnable. Meaning the mitzvah of Hashavas Sagzela no longer expresses itself in returning the original animal, the stolen object, because he, the Ganav, was Kona B'shinui. Through the death of the animal, now it's nevela. So the moment the animal dies, the ganav is kona, the animal the shinui, and therefore let's go back to the shas hagzeil to figure out what was the value of the stolen animal. The Gemara answers Abayi Masni Hachi. He has a different girsa in the statement of Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Here we're turning to Tzadi Dalanim and Beis. Amru Halachik Rav Shimon Elazar. There was someone who said that we passed like Rav Shimon Elazar, meaning that Shinui Bimkomo Omed. But Valei, I Shmuel say, Lo Svirle. No, Shmuel himself does not agree to that opinion that we passed Laloch Lamaisa that Shinui Bimkomo Omed like Rav Shimon Elazar. But rather, he, Shmuel, holds that Shinui is Kona, and Laloch is not like Rav Shimon Elazar. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here on the top of Daf Tzadi Dalid Omid Beis.